There's no power on this earth.
That wasn't really what we expected. All right, we're going to go to, I guess, John 15. Now, I was walking up and down the road this morning before church and thinking a little bit about, early on in my Christian life, and I, like a lot of people, and I have a fairly orthodox sort of Baptist, Methodist, Protestant background, came up mainline, really, and somehow or other, I always had this thought that I'd accept Christ as my Lord and Savior, but then I owed him a better life, and which is, I think, fundamentally why people fall into the error that I guess you could call the error of the Galatians, this bent within mankind. We want to add our own works, like somehow, we got to fix this. We got to fix the flesh. Or maybe we owe him something. But clearly that, like the song says, that's a debt we cannot pay. And I was thinking about, I think you hit it, Paul, last week. There are some odd things in the Bible if you really step back and look at what is said. But Jesus said, he was praying with his disciples shortly before his death, and he said, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. And he said in another place, now you are clean through the word that I have spoken unto you. Which is, that's just an odd thing to say, Let's read John 15, and I don't know that I'll go all the way through it, but it does flow really nicely together, so we'll just see where we go. John 15, beginning at verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. Well, let's stop right here and look at this a little bit. What we come to Christ utterly without value and filth. Some people have low self-esteem, and they should. All people should have low self-esteem. We've been hitting on this. What is humility? There's a kind of humility like, some hotshot manager from overseas comes into Bosch and he'll sit down and talk with us, and I'm not saying he's not a decent fellow or whatever, but he'll sit down, he might have lunch with you or something, and that's nice and that's humble. But at the end of the day, he is who he is, and I am who I am. But true humility is to be able to look at others not just like figuratively as better than yourself, but to know that really they are better than you. And Paul, I would argue the greatest of the apostles, said that he was the chief among sinners, to say that he was beneath all men. And this was by design, which this has come out in our men's Bible studies lately, because he was selected as an apostle precisely because he was the least. So when he made that statement that he was low life, the Father himself, that was the Father's testimony of him. That's why he was chosen. Well, is that okay? Paul went on to describe his pedigree of the tribe of Benjamin and circumcised the eighth day and on and on and on, a Pharisee of the Pharisees. And he said he counted all that as dung, as nothing. And likewise, we have to come to him as we are, and we have to recognize really what we are. It's not like you were scum on the dunghill of life. You are scum on the dunghill of life. And I'm not saying that because I don't like you guys, but you're just lower than dirt. You're lower than a snake's belly in a wagon rut. You're utterly without value. The fact that Jesus Christ came and died for you mystified the angels. The angels knew God, had lived in his presence, did live in his presence, and they looked at what God taking on the form of flesh and then dying for us, and they couldn't understand it. They called it his strange act. And in the Psalms, wasn't it David that wrote, "What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou dost take thought of him?" David had the heart of God. And so we truly are beneath contempt. You know, and that, like I said, I'm not saying that. I'm not trying to make you feel bad. But I think you should feel bad about what you are naturally. Because your flesh, which is not just this tangible body that you see, but even your reasoning, your line of thought, your mental processes are just utterly corrupt. Solomon said, your heart is so desperately wicked that you can't even know it. That's why you have the word. You know, that's why we come to the light. Jesus said, whosoever does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. And so we come, we hear the preaching and the songs, we encourage and challenge each other through the week. We are at least attempting to live in the light. But that's a bit of a painful process. Because what's the light do? It exposes your darkness. And like Scotty was saying last week, when he came down, you've got areas of darkness in you you're not aware of. And it's really the Father's mercy that he doesn't just show it to you. Because in another place, God the Father speaking said he would not always remain angry with man because the Spirit would fail before him. We could not survive his contempt. And so he brings us into the light as we're able to bear it. But make no mistake, when the light shines on something, it is our job to get it corrected. Well, that takes me back to where I started. Because now you've come to Christ, you've received Jesus as your Lord, as your Savior. You're now indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. You now have the ability to make the choice. Sinner got no choice. He's going to do whatever he does, but you have a choice. You don't exercise it very well. I know you guys, and y'all know me. Look at the first part of 15 again. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. And then in verse 4, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. So what we're commanded to do is not live a righteous life in front of him, because, dude, you're hosed. That's not going to happen. It is not going to happen. The commandment is to be led by the Spirit of God. The Apostle Paul said, they that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Yeah, you're not under the law. You know the law? Christ fulfilled the law. You're not under the Ten Commandments. You know, all that stuff, it's dead to you, and you're dead to it. We're now walking in a new commandment, which is what he said down here in 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And in 14, he tells you how to do that. Would you be the friend of God? Right, because you're called to step forward. Yeah, you got saved, but what if you simply stay saved? You won't. You won't, because it says, every branch in me that beareth fruit, he purgeth it. But it says, if you bear no fruit, you're cast forth, withered as a branch, and cast into the fire. Oh, man. So you have to step forward. You want to be God's friend. And he tells you how to do it in 14. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. What's the commandment? Love God. Love one another. That's right. The Church of Philadelphia is the Church of Brotherly Love. We're to be known by our love one to another. And that's not just among ourselves, certainly, it is an affection. I have an affection for you guys. But it's not just that. It's loving with your strength. You know what an American strength looks like? That. I'm holding up my wallet for you guys online. That is the strength of an American. You willing to give up your money? You willing to give up your time? You willing to watch my wild and crazy boys? I mean, what are you willing to do? The thing you have to do is you have to be led by the Spirit. Led by the Spirit. It's not now a matter of touch not, taste not, handle not. Paul and was it Peter? He said, all the things for which I have, I got my apostles mixed up, but touch not, taste not, handle not, all of things which have a show of wisdom and will worship, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. So yeah, you could pull yourself down tight. I lived for years, basically you just say Pentecostal holiness. Don't drink, smoke, chew, didn't watch, didn't own a TV, you know? Very dry sort of life. But it didn't get me right with God, and it didn't give me power to overcome the real problem, which is bad attitudes, which is old bitterness, which is lingering hatred. You think you could have all that and still serve God? I mean, it's going to cross you up. So when I look at this, I am the true vine. Every branch in me that bears fruit he purges. I know that on this road that there's going to be a purging. I know there's going to be chastisement and scourging, and I'm willing to accept that. But it says down here in 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. That is hope. That means I can, with full expectation, I can go to my Heavenly Father and say, sir, I'm having trouble. I've got a couple of phone bills I can't pay. I'm on a monthly pay cycle. I have issues. Won't you please take care of this? And you know what? I can have full confidence. It will be taken care of. I know that I will have what I need as I need it every single time. Every time. And you can know that too. The call is to abide in the vine, not to pull yourself up by your bootstraps, but to be led by the Spirit of God. Verse 7 and 15. Verse 7, chapter 15, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you.
That's twice in the same chapter.
That's twice. It's the same admonition or the same promise twice in the same chapter.
Maybe something you ought to know.
Yeah. How do you line up a rifle if you're going to hit something? You line up the back sight with the front sight, right? So he's lining this thing up. That's what you call making a doctrine. Making a doctrine. It's just confirmed itself. And that's what I have for us this morning. And that's in that song, Abiding in the Vine. So I thought it was pretty cool. I didn't know I was going to be speaking this morning. I already had my selections in, and then he told me that. And I do believe that is the Spirit of God. So thanks for listening. God bless y'all. Brother Paul?
I have some comments that is generated, but I'm going to get Phil first. Come on up, buddy. And here he is.
And now. Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
How has y'all's week been?
Not too bad.
Awesome. Praise the Lord. You know, I was thinking on things this morning, and I was kind of, it's really neat because I some of the stuff you were talking about there, Brad, is very interesting. And a lot of times, you know, we it talks about in James, we ask not and receive not because we ask amiss to consume it upon our own lust. And I was just reading that this morning, and you know, you take a look at where's our heart. You know, where do we want to be at? You know, do we want to be standing in the Lord, or are we just holding back? Are we holding to ourselves? You know, like Brad was saying, pulling yourself up by your bootstraps. But it's not about that. It's about the Lord. Amen. And I think I'm going to go to James a little bit here, James 4. And it starts off, from whence comes wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust, that war in your members? You lust and have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your upon your lusts. You know, how many times do we come to the Lord? Lord, I need this. Lord, I need this. Lord, I want this. Lord, help me. Lord, I need this. Lord, help me. Lord, I need this. You know, it's all about you. It's all about you. You know, and then we're shocked that we don't receive these things. Oh, Lord, how can this happen to me? It's still all about you. You know, you look at the scriptures, you look at the people who were abiding in the vine, they were not about themselves. They were about the Lord. They were about His will. They were about standing and abiding in Him in power, preaching the gospel, doing the will of the Father, just like Jesus did as an example for us. And a lot of times I can look at my own selves, and it's like a skipping stone throughout the day or throughout the week. It's like, you can see all the areas where, man, that's selfish. That's about me. That's about me. That's about me. That's about me. I'm going, Lord, I don't see how you put up with us. I don't see how you put up with me. I really don't. If I were you, I would have sit my butt off a long time ago. Hey, you're on your own, jerk. You know? But the Lord is good. He is gracious. And He loves you. And He's faithful. We're not so much, but He is. Amen? And so a lot of times, you know, the prayers that He's going to answer is going to be, and He's going to give you everything you need. Amen. But He's not going to give you what you don't need. And He's not going to just bless you when you're all about yourself, when you're all about doing your own will, when you're all about serving yourself or Satan or the world or whatever you want to call it. But if you're about doing His will, then He'll provide everything you need. Then He'll provide everything you need. See, we miss that a lot of times. We miss that a lot of times. And you know, and as I look at the skipping stone, man, that's about me. Man, that's about me. Man, that's about me. I pray to God that He gives me that to see. That's given me what I need so I can repent from that like David did and say, Lord, create in me a clean heart. My heart is filthy. It's screwed up. I need you, Lord. All I have is your grace. And then you can come to the place like Paul where he's like, I am the chief of sinners, because you realize your own depravity. You realize it. And then when you see the next person or the person in the body struggling with the same thing, it's not judgment. Oh, you idiot. You stupid. It's, man, I realized when I was in that position. Or, man, I know that guy's struggling. What? I'm going to pray for him. Or I'm going to go talk to him. Or Lord, you have something to give me to tell them? You know? Whatever it is. But that's the place when we operate, and that is loving. And that's a love of choice with agape love. Jesus struggled to go to the cross. So he resisted against sin till blood was coming out. He said, not my will be done, but yours, Father. And that's the same place, you know, it talks about in Hebrews, where it talks about looking to the author and finisher of our faith, considering what confliction that He suffered, and I'm screwing that up, but the point of considering Jesus, looking at what He did, as an example. Not, oh, looking at Jesus, author and finisher of my faith, oh, I can do whatever I want, He's got me, I can go just do whatever. I can do my own will. It doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. The Lord is great. But yet, you know, God provides. And He gives us more grace. And more grace. That we can see it. But it's up to us where we want to be at in this road. He's given us opportunity now to get it right with Him. Let's not reject that. Let's not take the time for granted. Man, we need to be thanking God at the end of every day, saying, thank you, Lord, for getting me through this day. Or thank you, Lord, for showing me the crud and the filth that I can get rid of. I can put off. I don't want to be cleaved to the old man anymore. I want to be cleaved to the new man in spirit, abiding in him. That's what it's about. Love God, love one another. Love God, love one another. I'm going to go a little bit further here. You adulterers, he says, that you may consume it upon your own lust. We're finishing up verse 3. You adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Giveth grace to the humble. Why do you think, you know, when it had talks, Jesus talks about that, about the two men praying. One's praying many words, and, oh, thank thee, Lord, that you have not made me like this man, a sinner over here. And the other guy, Lord, forgive me, beating on his chest, for I'm a sinner. Please forgive me. Oh, God, I'm a sinner. Have mercy on me, please. What'd Jesus say? That man came out more justified than the other. Because he realized he was humble and he realized that he was a sinner. He realized how much he needed the grace of God. And let me tell you, there's... Well, I can look back and look at God's grace on my life. I can look now and see his grace on my life. I don't want nothing to do with the old man. I don't want to be a friendship of the world. I want to be standing like Peter and John did after he healed and said, of silver and gold have I none, but rise up and walk in the name of Jesus. And then the same Pharisees that crucified Jesus, they stood before them and accused him. So where did how this man become healed? From the same Jesus you crucified, the faith in him, standing, not caring about their life. It was all about the Lord then, and they didn't care, and they spoke with boldness. And guess what? That guy was standing right beside him, healed in his legs, and they could not deny it. It was right there in front of their face. Nothing to say. I could see the look on their faces now. We sure did get ourselves in a pickle. Praise God. Praise God. The Lord is good. He is gracious. He loves you. Let's be about him. About him is love, peace, life. It's about yourself. We're being just like the guys, it's all about us. We're adulteresses and adulteresses. Because you know who comes one in our life when it's like that? Us. It's not called to be about that. It's about the Lord and it's about the next person. Realizing how depraved you are without Jesus Christ. And that they can have that same, they have that same hope. If there's hope for you, you just know there's hope for them. Amen. With that, I'm going to wrap up. Thanks for listening, guys.
I just thought I should follow one Brad talking about the personal knowledge that he has of everybody being lowered in the snake belly with someone who has a lot of experience being lowered in a snake's belly, with that being Philip and myself. So, that's a good thing. And I know Brad meant inclusive. He was not trying to be exclusive. I'd been thinking about John 15 as well. And there's an interesting progression in there. And there's two of the several times that he mentions some form of the ask what you will and it'll be done are in that chapter. And there are several times that's mentioned in the last, what are we looking at here? Last six chapters of John. He starts talking about, you know, I'm the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. So my Father's the one who takes care of this little garden enterprise here that's designed to yield grapes and wine and other sort of things. Everything else is a structure that he set forth to do a certain thing. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. He just cut it, throw it in the fire. It's no good, right? And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth, that it may bring forth more fruit. That means you take the fruit off and you use it for something. You give it away, you use it, more fruit comes to it. Now, you are clean through the word which I have spoken to you. It's almost like we've purged the fruit off. We keep purging the fruit off, and you're a clean vine because of the... I don't know how accurate that is, but it's an interesting sort of a thing to follow that with. I understand that we're clean because we need to be clean, and his word clean is the cleaning agent. But like I said, this is about an interesting progression here. There's always so many things at work. You pick any passage of scripture. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. Just cut that branch loose and set it out by itself, and what's going to happen? It's going to shrivel up, not going to be bearing any more fruit. No more can ye except you abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. Or as Keith Green says, I'm divine, you're the branch. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. And this is an interesting, too. This is about, you can do nothing to bring forth fruit. This isn't you can't do anything. This is, if I'm commanding you to bring forth fruit, and you can't do it unless you do it this way. If a man abide not in me, he's cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they're burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Number one. Herein my Father glorified that you bear much fruit. And we start a progression here about fruit. And then love. And then the willingness to die for that love. What is the fruit that we're talking about bearing here? Talking about fruit. Fruit is love. For the Spirit is love. Yes. So he's developing this thing to where, you know, how much does he talk about this in 1 John? This commandment I give you, that you love one another. These people don't know you by your love one for another. He's sitting here He's developing streaks, showing them what kind of love it is. And it starts from the vine analogy. This all makes perfect sense. The vine bears fruit. You're in the vine. You're in me. This is the fruit I'm wanting you to bear is love. If you don't bear any love, you're no good to me. These things I have spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. He goes to fruit. He goes to love. He goes to joy. And he comes back and brings it to, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. We go from fruit to love. Fruit to love, fruit to love. He's set up the vineyard. He's pruned the vine. He's picked off the ready fruit, and it's all set there, is ready to go. Now, you abide in there, and for a few days, it's not going to look like there's much happening. But if you keep my commandments and abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if you do what I command you. And I have laid down my life for you as a friend. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what the Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. All things. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go forth and bring forth fruit, or back to fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And whatsoever you shall ask in the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Again. This is how he's teaching them to receive from the Father. Abide in me, love one another. Abide in me, love one another. Yeah, I was sitting there thinking to myself, I spent a lot of time working, a lot of agencies, working 20 years with Amoco Chemicals and 5.5 years with Walmart. And we have, you know, all these employee manuals and rules and employee handbook things. And there's all kinds of stuff that they were printed, they were there, and they never really enforced. There's just a lot of stuff. They had the legal stuff covered. And they'd come along, and after, you know, number of years of working there, they'd all of a sudden say, you remember, well, rule number 7, we haven't been enforcing that. We're going to start enforcing that now. Okay. Everybody gets an attitude. It's a... You know, after Jesus' position is, you know, after you've done everything you've been commanded to do, you're still an unprofitable servant until you've done more than you've been commanded to do where you're profitable. And you go to work for somebody, they have a right to set the rules. You don't have a right to cop an attitude like they, but that's how we do it. Just because something isn't enforced, There's all kinds of things that for many years I knew were hanging out there as in this ministry, but they were never addressed to me. When they started getting addressed to me, it's like, no. We're like that, man. When it's time to deal with the stuff, when it's time to deal with it, you got to deal with it. And if you don't, you're an unprofitable servant then, too. So, you know, these are mysteries of the relationship of Jesus Christ and what he has revealed to his disciples here, and what they passed on to us as a result of his prayer in John 17, which gives us clarity about that. This is neat stuff. And the progression about dressing the vineyard, you know, I have cleared it, cleaned it. It's ready to sit here, take up the nutrients, and bring forth fruit. And it's going to be fruit that I can use. And when I pick it and purge it, and you're going to go more fruit. As long as you sit, you got to sit here. You can't be hanging out over the side of the vineyard and you just plop down and separate from the vine. Not going to work that way. You can't go off on your own. There's no life except that branch stay in the vine. Stay taking up the nutrients in that. And it's crowned with love. And love that loves enough that it'll give its life for its friends. Which, of course, is what he did. And it's a great, you know, it's a great progression. It's a great testament. You know, I never really saw it as a progression like that before, but that was kind of neat. And all this, which is kind of a glorious thing. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant's not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they'll keep yours as well. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. This is some good stuff. And I just want to thank everybody who came up here, and I want to thank everybody for showing up. I thank you for the word, Lord. I just praise you. And let it do the cleansing and redefining of our motives, Lord, and let it be. Let it purify and wash and cleanse our hearts. Because it's not in us, in the natural, to seek after you or your ways. Lord, do your work as you are so abundantly faithful and sent your Son to bleed for us. We praise you, Lord. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.